As varied as our topography and soils, as rich as our resources, so varied and rich are the voices and stories of the folks around us. Come neighbor a bit with me, Sam Stroop. Grab a cup of coffee, pull up a comfy chair, let's get to talking. I just interviewed a fellow Howard Countyan who has suffered from the ravages of substance abuse for half of his life. He has spent much of his life in courts and local and state jails. He has struggled to make child support payments for his 5 children. After a car accident a year and a half ago, a long hospital stay, he sought help at a Springfield Rehabilitation Center. He spent a full year there in their program. As he puts his life together in new directions, we need to be asking ourselves how we as neighbors, family, and a community can support him and folk like him as they move forward. I'm a little more nervous about this interview, and I've done about 30, than I have been over any other I've done. And I think it's because I know so little about what's going on in this area, and it's just not a world I'm comfortable about, and it's one you fully experience now, and so I'm really anxious to start pumping some information out of you. How would you describe what you did the last year? What was a short soundbite of this is what I was up to and why I was doing it?
Well, I mean, it was a sober living program. And
a sober living program?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, and it was a faith-based program, okay, too. So, mm-hmm. I mean, it was combined sober living and faith-based.
Yeah.
And, well, I mean, pretty much it gives you a lot where you do it on your own if you don't have the initiative or the drive. But they set up a good foundation for you to build off of. Mm-hmm. Is what, I mean, it took me 3 months, and I was an assistant manager of the house and helping lead other people and help them set up their path. You want me to explain like what we had to do a week? Or
what was the name of the place?
New Beginning Sanctuary.
New Beginning Sanctuary.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Did it cost you money to be there or?
Yeah, it costs, it's like $110 a week,
okay,
is what it costs. And then, well, once I got to assistant manager, it was only $80 a week for me, mm-hmm, because I helped with the run. And the managers don't pay rent, but you got to run your house and keep everybody on track and hand out, do medications and do drug tests on people and make sure everybody gets their classes in. Because you got a mandatory requirement of classes every week that you have a church and then like 3 NAAA type things.
Mm-hmm. What do you mean by NAAA?
Narcotics Anonymous, Alcoholics, okay, Anonymous, or else they can be other Bible stuff. It could, mm-hmm, be Bible studies. It could be more churches or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
It could be anything, just as long as you're working on your recovery and you got a piece of paper you fill out every week and do that.
So you say it's 3 type things like that per week?
You got 2 on Tuesdays. There's a thing at the center. They feed you and you go eat dinner and you go to a church service.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way you can't go to that is if you have a job and it doesn't allow you. But you still have to go to a church service somewhere that week.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And then Thursday they have like a men's group and a women's group, and they kind of split off into different things, and they feed you again that night, and you, mm-hmm, go eat and, mm-hmm, do NAA or do, right, some type of Bible study or do something.
So the $110 gave you a bed and meals?
They feed you just a couple times a week at first, but they'll help you, like if you're getting started out, they'll help you go to some food banks or, you know,
okay,
kind of show you places to go. Mm-hmm. And that's more your individual house that kind of does that,
yeah,
kind of help get you lined up. And people will feed you when you come in the first to help,
right,
you get on your feet and do stuff like,
okay,
that.
Did you stay at one of their centers, a home, or were you on your own to...
No, it's individual houses.
Okay.
And then like they got the garage turned into like where four people, it
Yeah.
was like a 3-bedroom house with and 2-bathroom with 10 people and maybe 11 if we had a guy on the couch.
Okay. And then the part of the $110 a week pay rent, or did you have to pay rent above
No,
that?
that's your rent.
Okay.
That's your well, it's not called it's program fees
Yeah,
because
yeah.
the rent you have the squatting rights or whatever.
I missed that. The rent.
Rent you have squatting rights, program fees, then that's just the way because they
Okay.
can't if you drink or something, they got to be able to kick you out. If it's
Okay.
rent, they can't kick you out.
Ah, okay. Squatter's fees. So the 110 helped cover the cost of the program and gave you a roof over your head. Yeah, and then meals were kind of on your own, but you got a lot of help on that.
Yeah, they'll
Yeah,
help you. I mean, if
right.
you're helping yourself, they'll help
Yeah.
you, but you got to take care
Right.
of yourself and do your own thing.
So that's, like 400 and, I shouldn't be talking money. There's so much more important things to do, but I find this interesting. So you're putting about
Of course.
$440 a month into the program, and then how much money do you think you needed above that a month to exist?
To,
Another 400?
I mean, really, it didn't take that. I mean, it doesn't take a whole
Didn't take
lot to
much.
live. I
Okay.
mean, there for a while when they was taking all my money for child support, I mean,
Yeah.
I'd have $20 or $30 a week,
Yeah.
and that was enough to eat.
Yeah.
And
Yeah.
I lived for up to $20, $30 a week.
It sounds a lot more affordable than I would have realized or thought.
Yeah, I mean, it's not bad.
Yeah, I mean, you hear of actors and actresses going off to rehab, and you can just imagine the splendor they stay in and what it costs. And it's good to know that it can be something within anybody's reach that really wants to go through a program like
Yeah,
this.
it's a very good alternative to prison if you want to do something with your life.
Yeah.
You know, if you or you want a different path, you want a different thing. I mean,
Right.
instead of the option if you're in trouble, instead of or even if you're not in trouble, just to go be around sober people and learn how to live sober and to do a different choose a different path in life. It's good for.
How soon after you arrived there were you able to start taking a job that paid some money? Now you said you became a manager, which saved you $40 a week on rent.
But yeah, from it saved me like $30 a week,
Okay,
but
right, yeah.
well, yeah, the assistant, the manager doesn't have to pay any rent.
And then how long after you got down there before you actually took a job somewhere that during the day?
It only took me like a week or something.
Okay, excellent.
Yeah, they'll help you, and there's all kinds of jobs down there, and
Yeah.
there's employment places, and there's the temporary employment, like what do they call it? They'll hire, and there's a
Temp
place
work,
that
yeah.
has transportation to take you to the places back and forth that you
Excellent.
have to pay them so much for too. But I mean, you can find ways. There's a way. You have to get a certain amount of. You have to put in like 5 applications a day till you get a job and get it signed to have proof that you
Huh.
kind of did it, and they don't just let you sit around.
How did you hear about this program?
I had a friend who was going through CORE down there, so I started looking into programs down there, and I just ended up there was I knew recognized New Beginning Sanctuary, and I
Okay.
just called and talked to them people about it, and
Yeah.
then I ended up going to that one instead
Right.
of CORE.
What does CORE stand for? Is it about the same program?
It's real similar. It's been
Okay.
around a little bit longer,
Yeah.
and I think it might be a little stricter.
How long was it before you applied and actually got in?
It didn't take me very long to get in, but it took me a little while before I left to go.
I see.
They had open beds. It's just they get open beds. There's a lot of people that it
Yeah.
has a pretty high turnover rate.
How many bodies do they work with at a time? How many people?
Oh, there's probably between 125, 150 people.
Mm-hmm. And the numbers fluctuate all the time, I'm
and,
sure.
And they're expanding. They're going to more towns and buying more houses. Wow. I think that program's been around for a little bit. It's been over 5 years that it's been around, so it's established a little, you know. It's growing, too. I mean, there's lots of people out there. That,
do you have any idea how many New Beginnings organizations there are in the state of Missouri in different towns? Or are they just in Springfield right
no,
now?
No, it's not just in Springfield. There's one in...
So you know of at least one more.
There's one in Joplin, yeah. And then there's one in where's Silver Dollar? The big Branson. There we go.
So they're mainly down south, yeah.
Yeah.
But there isn't one in Columbia.
No, there wasn't. There isn't very many of them type of programs around.
Yeah.
Here.
Yeah. It sounds like if they're expanding, they're making it work.
Yeah, so it's growing. Yeah. Yeah, and they got some good people in there, and mm-hmm. they do. They're worried about people staying clean and sober and doing things for their families.
What was a day like there? Okay, let's say you have a job, so you're working like 8 to 4, and mm-hmm. then what was the rest of your day like as far as the program they were putting you through?
Well, I mean, everybody had a chore every week that you were, you know, to clean the house, and mm-hmm. you got your chore done and your son. Well, I mean, you get up in the morning, there's multiple refrigerators, so there's enough room for people, and get up, drink your coffee, pack your lunch, go about your day, get back home and do your chore. We had a house dog that was just stayed in our house, mm-hmm. so... You know, take the dog for a walk or something. And
did I hear you say there maybe were like 10 or 11 people or guys in the house you were in?
Yeah, in a three-bedroom house.
Three-bedroom house. Wow. That was a crowd.
Yeah, there's a lot of people. And, I mean, you do your own dishes right after you're done. I mean, you take care of yourself. You pick up after yourself. And, I mean, it's not bad.
So you kind of take care of your own individual food.
Yeah, you fix your own supper. Everybody's got their own spot in their own refrigerator. There's a freezer out in the garage, too, mm-hmm. that you can put your stuff in.
Right.
I mean, yeah, you got your own little stuff. Mm-hmm. It's pretty kind of... You got a support system because there's a lot of people in the house that are... about getting their life together. Right. So, I mean, you got everybody is watching out for each other, and you got, it's a really tight-knit support system if you got a good house and good people, which we had a wonderful house with wonderful people, and I mean, it was a really good support system. I call them and check on them, and they call and check on me. Mm. I mean, it's pretty cool. It's kind of nice. It's very structured, though. I mean,
was there a, like, I'd call it a staff person in each house, or were you guys kind of on your own?
No, we are the house manager is the staff person.
Okay.
I mean, they're not really staff, but they get paid to do mm-hmm. that job, and then the assistant manager, and they had there's a program director, and then that kind of was over all the houses. You know, if anything happened, you ran stuff through her. And then there was three higher up people, but that was.
But they weren't in the house with you all day long.
No, just, they were.
If you need them, they were there.
Yeah, you could call, and they were at their office during the day.
Right.
From like 8 to 5, or you know, somewhere right around that.
Now you said you became a manager pretty quick after being there.
No, like assistant manager, 3 months.
All right.
Like 3 months.
What were your jobs as the assistant manager?
To make sure everybody got their meds, to check on chores, to make sure people got signed up for rides for the stuff, and everybody had their classes in for the week, and to make sure people was clean and sober, and mm-hmm. you know, kind of watch people and check on people, and mm-hmm. just help run the house and help make sure if somebody did use that they didn't take anybody else down with them, because everybody's kind of at a vulnerable state at that time. I mean, they haven't been clean that long, and I mean, it's really easy to get drugged back off in that. And you don't like to see people fail.
Yeah.
especially when you know, get to know them and get to know what they care about and get to know the things in their life that's going on. You want to watch it. You want them to succeed. You want to make sure that you're doing everything you can to help them too.
So guys coming in, were some of them still pretty strung out and had to go through some tough withdrawal time, or had that happened before they came to New Beginnings?
Like a lot of, see, you were supposed to come in clean, like, and if you didn't, they would kind of talk to you and see, and maybe send you to detox and then let you come in.
I see.
Because we don't want people coming right. in and then being around right. people that are at a vulnerable state, and then yeah. we want everybody to succeed. And
if they had to go to detox, they, you know, they came down and they said, I've still got a real problem. I want this program, but I'm not on top of things. What was detox all about? How would they help a person like that?
You'd just be there for like 2 or 3 days, just till you kind of got the drugs out of you.
In a special house or something, you mean?
No, it's actually like a detox place. Like, okay. I've never really.
You didn't go there.
Yeah, so I'm not. Yeah. I don't really know. I've never been through one, but
yeah.
I mean, they would send them there. It's its own little mm-hmm. unit. And the person could sign out if they wanted to sign out, but they wouldn't be able to come to the program.
I see. Gotcha.
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, they fed them. They just right. cleaned them out, and then mm-hmm. we would take them. And
right.
It was.
How often would there be, like, pee tests? Every day or twice a day or once a week? Or how would you
No,
like that?
We would do a couple a week unless we suspected something.
Okay.
If unless, you know, because people act different, they move different, their body, they look different.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you can kind of tell if you've lived around people for a while. Yeah. I mean, you notice something different, and sometimes maybe it's just personal issues they got going on. But I mean, and it was 2 a week. Usually we did on Sunday, we'd do a couple a week and maybe an alcohol test. And mm-hmm. every once in a while, we'd do a breathalyzer test just through the house sometimes. It just kind of random.
Yeah. How many guys, let's say a guy's there, let's say 10 guys come into the program. They're there for 3 weeks. After 3 weeks, how many of those 10 do you think were still around? That's a tough one, huh?
Yeah. I mean,
Did it feel like half were sticking with the program?
Sometimes they would, and
okay.
I mean, there'd be a lot of different. Lots of times, people aren't ready.
Yeah,
they're just not. They're not there yet. They're not ready, or they're just want to be. Lots of them don't want to be there. Period.
But it was a choice between jail and there, so they give there a chance first.
Yeah,
but then
I've
they
seen
decide
a lot of people. Like we had a younger, like a 21-year-old kid come in right before I left that. Was just there because he was ready for a change in his life. And I was like, that's awesome to be that young and to already getting that mindset to where that's not what you want. And, you know, realizes he can't do it on his own. He needs a little bit of a structured environment to help him out.
If somebody does, like, flunk a test, then what happens next? Are they automatically out of the program?
They got an hour to pack their stuff and
they're out, pack their stuff, and they're gone. Yeah.
They got an hour to, mm-hmm. I mean, that's, we can't have that around everybody else. That's put, now see, they might be able to go, like, talk to the program director, Nancy, and talk to her and see if maybe, she might not.
Right.
But she might let them go to detox and then move them to a different house.
Interesting.
Maybe, but that's, you got to make her believe that's what you want then. I mean, that's, you're in a iffy area. I don't.
Yeah.
It just depends on what you want. I don't know.
So people come in with the mindset of, if I screw up, I'm probably out of here.
Yeah. I mean, you're not going to.
Right.
Yeah. Alcohol, it doesn't matter what it is. You're out of the house.
Yeah.
You got to go.
You describe it as being a pretty structured program. What does that look like? What do you mean it was pretty structured?
Well, it's not. It's really probably one of the most laid-back programs out there, really. Like, it's kind of up to you. But, I mean, we have, you know, we have manager and assistant manager meetings every week, and we get taught kind of how to help people and to not to push them in the wrong direction, because that's easy to do, too, if you have the wrong attitude with people. That's easy to push them the wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's pretty laid back. It's probably not, but I mean, you got accountability. I mean, you got it. You can't, you got somebody watching over you a little bit. It's not really structured. I guess it'd be more accountability
Okay.
for your actions and your choices.
Were you comfortable in this role of assistant manager helping other folks, and or was it a difficult thing for you, a new experience?
Now, I wanted it because I was
Okay.
like, because I liked it. Whenever you know what somebody wants and watching them fail, which I've seen that plenty of
Yeah.
times, and watch them not make it, that's really not an easy thing to watch. But whenever you get to watch people go from not having nothing to having cars and to getting their life together and to getting their kids back in their lives and to just doing, I mean, it's cool to watch people make such changes in such short period of time. It's kind of, it's, I like that part of it.
Yeah. Were there, like you talked about the Al-Anon, the Alcoholics Anonymous meetings, would you have them there in the house, or would you go
Yeah.
somewhere else to it?
Well, both.
Okay.
We'd have like, 'cause some people worked nights and some people
Yeah.
worked evening shifts, so I mean, and so we'd have, and then we'd have a movie night on like Saturdays, have, we'd have stuff in the house. So because we'd want people to get their meetings in, because sometimes it was kind of hard. They'd be
Yeah.
switching to a different job and be on a different schedule
Right.
and it'd be rough on them. And you get fines if you don't, like if you don't get your classes in repeatedly, and then it can be terms for dismissal. And like, and if you don't get your chore, you can get fined. If you don't do things, that you get fined. I mean, that's, you don't, that's the quickest way to somebody's head sometimes is their
How much money
pocketbook.
was involved in a fine?
Just like five,
Okay.
$10. But I mean, if it
It
happened
adds
more,
up.
it could grow. It would
Right.
get, I mean, the same things, it would get more.
All right, let's say there was a session there in your house. Can you describe it all? How that went, what it was like, what happened in it?
What, like the NAs or
Yeah.
something? Oh, we just do it like a regular NA. Whenever I ran them, I would always just go around the room and ask people how their week was going and what was going
Okay.
on with them, and then just kind of running around just to hear how everybody was doing, what was bothering them, what was going good with them. I mean, I'd want to know what was going on with their week and how they were doing and if there is anything we could do to help them.
Yeah. How long would a session be?
It'd be like 45 minutes
Okay.
to maybe an hour, 15. Usually is about the long. It just depended on what people had going on and how much they
Issues
had to
with.
talk about.
And you knew when it was time to call it over.
People would start getting grouchy or rambling or nitpicking each other or something. So we would just.
It sounds like you've become quite a people skills person through this
Yeah.
experience.
Trying.
Yeah. What place did the church sessions hold for you personally? Were they helpful, or was more just something you had to do every week?
Well, see, they would have a different church come in almost every week down there, and there were some really good churches down there. There were some. I took a separate class with this with a church that was a really long class that was that I took for like I don't know 10, 11, 12 weeks, something like that, and that was a really cool class. I mean, they would. It just depended. Some of the preachers should have been were teachers and not really preachers, and some of
Yeah.
them were awesome at what they did, but
So a pastor would come in to you all, and all the houses would come to
yeah,
one place,
there's
and
women's and men's
right.
houses too, so I mean everybody, we would eat and then we'd sit down and have a
And where would you do that? Did the New
at
Beginnings have a large building or something
it
that?
was SRCC. It's a Springfield Recovery Community Center.
Okay, gotcha. So that
Yeah.
was set up for that kind of a deal.
But yeah, then people could come there all week and they had snacks and stuff like that and
Right.
get TV games and pool table. And so it was just for anybody that was in recovery. It was, but it wasn't like the wasn't New Beginnings thing, you know,
Right.
but I mean, we used the building quite a
It was
bit.
a resource that New Beginnings could use.
Yeah, that they
And it's big,
utilized, yeah.
and they didn't have to build their own building to do it. It
No,
really
their
sounds good.
office was like right next to it, a couple.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it was cool.
Well, you said you took some varying classes. What was maybe one or two that you really enjoyed, and what went on in those?
Well, I took the Good Dads class.
Good dads. Okay.
It's a big thing that they got going on, and you got people that'll help you, like with the children's division, or help you with your child support. Not like pay it, but they'll help you pay, you know, help you get ahead. It was like a 13-week class, and then I took a relationship class that was with Good Dads too. After that, there was like another 7-week class. And I mean, it was the people with it were really awesome. I mean, anything you wanted help figuring out, you could give them the information and they would call and help get it figured out for you. And they were awesome ladies for
Was that those sessions held there at the Springfield Recovery
yeah,
Center?
they were there too.
Okay. Let's see. How are you at feeding yourself? Did you bet you lost a little weight
We
there?
ate a lot of pizza this past. I've ate a lot of pizza this past year, and a lot of corn dogs and a lot of chicken nuggets.
That you'd buy a lot of the pizzas and that, you mean, or would you make your own pizzas?
We'd buy some pizzas,
Yeah,
and then corn
right.
dogs and chicken nuggets were
Right.
easy. And then
Yeah.
sometimes we'd all throw together and barbecue some stuff on Sundays and
Yeah.
stuff like that.
Maybe you already answered this. The actual staff numbers of the New Beginnings was maybe three people, or was it more than that?
Yeah, three. And then pretty much anybody else that they had like the maintenance guy, but I mean it was all people that was in one of the houses that was that I would nobody that was really staff after them three. But they'd still have people from in the program doing maintenance and working on the houses and
Was your house that you lived in pretty close to the Springfield Recovery Center, or were you way out in the boonies, or?
No, it was everywhere was kind of pretty close to being in town.
Okay.
But I mean, I was probably a 15, 20-minute bike ride from there. But on Tuesdays and Thursdays, you could sign up for Transpo
Okay.
and they would give you, and they come around with a van and give everybody a ride because them were mandatory anyway. And then for your first month on Fridays, you had to go to this certain church for your first 30 days, which it's a really good church.
Yeah. So either there was, you could figure out a way to get in on a transportation situation, or you had a bicycle to get yourself around with.
Yeah, and the
Yeah.
bus system was
Yeah.
pretty, you
On
could
bus
ride.
system too,
Yeah,
right.
but if you signed up for Transpo, you had to take Transpo. There
Okay.
was, or you had to have your ride because it was serious if you missed a mandatory
Yeah.
thing, unless you had a job.
So if you your day's work is done, you've got a session, let's say at 7 o'clock. Was the rest of the time, if you wanted to go out and walk the streets till midnight, could you? Or
No,
was there a curfew,
there
or?
was a 10 o'clock curfew through the week and 11 o'clock on the weekends,
Okay.
and you better be back by curfew.
But if there was some free time, you were free to get
Yeah,
on your bike and go
well, I
for a ride.
mean, you had a sign in and out
Okay.
sheet, but they didn't. I mean, you could kind of go where you wanted and do. Yeah, you had a lot of free time,
Yeah.
really. There was all a lot of free time. That was. It's kind of up to you.
How'd you kind of fill your free time when you were down there? Because you're away from family and.
I rode bikes a lot,
Okay.
went to the park.
Yeah. Just get out of the house. Get away from the 10 guys for a little while. When you come back, you're
Yeah.
glad to see them again. Yeah.
It wasn't bad at all. But we had a good group of guys. I was fortunate enough to have a really good house. I still said it was the best house out of the program. I still do. I still think it is.
Well, when I was in the Navy barracks at Coronado, Missouri, California, were really nice. There were about four or five of us in a room, and we just had a ball. We had more fun in there, you know, and come in from work at midnight and
go play racquetball together or swim. Yeah, guys can get along good and have a good time.
Oh, it can
I
make the
know what you're
whole
talking about.
experience different.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it can make it a whole lot different.
Yeah. I suspect as assistant manager, you could also go to the staff people and say, this person is screwing up everything. Would you consider moving them somewhere? Or did you ever have a situation like that?
No, well, I don't. See, we kind of our house, we believe in the chain of command. Like, everything goes to like the assistant or the manager, and like if anybody, I always went to the never go above the person, the manager's head. I don't really believe in that because I think it throws more chaos and confusion into the whole situation. But I mean, lots of houses did, but that probably got them micromanaged a little bit more, you know.
You may not be able to answer this, but you said there were gals' houses too, pretty well set up the same way as the guys as far as how it functioned and worked, do you think? Were there any big differences?
I think they was a little stricter on the
A little
girls,
stricter on.
but it was a female that's our program director, and she's, I don't know, but she was, I mean, she was very good with people, and most of the things she did for a reason, but she was probably a little rougher on the girls.
What were some of the jobs you had while you were in Springfield that made money for you?
Well, I mean, I started off, I had the telemarketing job for like 6 months, and then I went to helping do some construction, and then I moved on to a different guy doing more construction.
How was the what was telemarketing, the guys I hang up on all the time, or describe what that was all about?
Well, I just got through with my car wreck and my feet wasn't the best, so I was still.
You needed a desk job.
Yeah, I needed something where I could move around okay and still not drive myself crazy with pain. And it was just like an easy job to get on to.
What would you do all day at that job? Were you on the phone with people or what? Verbal
Yeah,
calls?
just call all day long, call and call and call. It wasn't.
I've always wondered what it would be like on the other end, because I know how I am on my end. I can immediately tell this is a telecommunicator, and I just hang up.
Yeah, them places are a mess. They're just.
But it's a job you could handle because of the accident you were
Yeah, they play around a lot of them jobs.
in.
Yeah, I could do it, but it wasn't. I
You're not
mean,
going to go back to that job now that you're in
no, I'll
Glasgow.
never go back to that.
Well, I pity you having to do that, but I'm proud of you, the fact that you took a job that you could handle with the injury you were sustaining.
Yeah,
So
I had to do something.
my wife always, when I'm never rude, I just hang up. And she says, Sam, don't you realize these people are just trying to make a living? I say, well, that's life. I'm hanging up anyway. What would it take to start a program like this in Howard County?
I thought a lot about starting a program like that. They get lots of funding, there's lots of help, and I mean, you can bring in, I imagine you could do a lot with the, I mean, you could pay off houses pretty decent time. There's probably, it's a pretty, and there's lots of people that, and you're helping people, and there's lots of funding for the opiate stuff and all of that stuff right now, and I
So
mean,
it's something that could happen. I don't, are, is there enough, let's say, potential clientele to support something like that?
well,
As close as we are to Boone County, it probably would be, wouldn't it?
I'm well, I mean, like I went to Springfield, so I mean, and some people can't get sober or get their life together in their area anyway, you know, so they need to get away from people and get away from everybody they know to in order to be successful. So I mean, I think there's potential.
I know when I was presiding commissioner and new at it, I one day I went down and I talked to Charlie Joe Flashfuller and I said, you know what's going through the court. What percentage of the people going through the court are because of an addiction problem? And he kind of scratched his head and didn't say anything. And then the gal that works for him, Cindy McMillan, jumped up and she said, Sam, 90%.
That's just what I was thinking. Yeah.
She said, maybe not direct, but indirect. 90% of what's going through our courts and our jails is because of drug abuse. So, you know, maybe Charlie Joe didn't want to tell me, but she handles all the papers, and that's what she immediately threw up. And so we know it's a huge problem even in Howard County.
Yeah.
And what was scary at my job, there's a big window between our space and where everybody's coming up to the courthouse or to the court, and how over those 4 years, how increasingly there were more and more gals coming up, ladies, and I know it was because of drug abuse problems.
Yeah.
I would say maybe a quarter of the inmates in Howard County Jail now are gals. It's a lot. So but you and I know the problem.
Well, I mean, drugs are hard enough, and then because you're on drugs, you do stuff that you feel guilty about, and then instead of doing the right thing and what would really get rid of that pain, you use more drugs to get rid of the guilt and build more stuff to feel guilty about and go on a horrible cycle that does nothing but beat you down to nothing. So, I mean, it's really, and how to break that cycle and get clean and sober is really a hard thing to do.
Were there any real hard times for you down there?
I mean, there's always stressful times, but I didn't have no... I always did extra things. I always went out of my way to do stuff and stayed around the people in the program and kind of... I did good the whole time I was there. I had fun.
Probably if it was hard times, just thinking about back here, family here,
there. Yeah, stressful, that was being away. It had rough times for that. But as far as using or anything like that, no, I didn't have nothing like that.
Did you see any guys that start the program, leave, come back and have success another time? Or did that
not happen? Yeah, I seen lots of guys. I seen lots of people do that.
Wow. That's good to hear.
Yeah, I seen lots of people come back.
My sister and your mom, you know, I don't know if your mom is still working at Valley Hope or not, but my sister worked there for quite a while, and I asked her what percentage of the people coming down there are really getting help, and she said, not many. And I said, why? And she said, it's just too short term. It's not disciplined enough. It's just kind of a holding pen for a short period of time before we push them back out the door.
Yeah,
you kind of see that as being valid?
No, I mean, 30 days is not... I mean, a year is not that long, really, to try to get a thought process you've had going on in your head for who knows how many years. I mean, it's been... You got a long time you've been spent getting that way, and then everybody expects you to get out of it in such a short period of time. I don't think a year, 30 days is nothing to change everything that you've been doing in your life for who knows how long.
What was graduation like for you there?
Graduation?
Happy, sad, fearful?
Well, I mean, graduation was like, no, it was good. I mean, get to tell everybody bye. It's been a little different being out of it, not the support. You get used to being everybody asks you constantly about your stuff and what's going on, and everybody's so supportive. In my house, everybody was so supportive and so there for you, and you always had like a happy drive to do on anything you did. It was, or help people. It was, you always had somebody right there to talk to. It was kind of neat. It was cool.
And now there's not as much of that.
No.
How are you figuring out ways to make being the program overwork for you? So now that you're readjusting after the program, what are some of the issues you're facing?
I mean, from going from having people all around, I don't From going from having people all around and constantly asking you how you're doing and being there and to going to doing stuff to, like, I don't know, it's more, mm-hmm. it's a lot more on yeah. your own, on mm-hmm. my own right now.
Mm-hmm. I think that for all of us who aren't in a rehab program, we all live kind of lonely lives out here. We just don't lean on each other enough and get involved in each other's lives. And so dealing with that, part of why I do these interviews is because I've got to have something to get me off the farm and involved in people's lives a little bit.
Yeah.
And some people don't make any effort. They live very lonely lives, and it's hard on their brains.
It sounds depressing.
Yeah. Buddy, you're going to have to work at it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's a little... I got to go find it. I don't really know.
You got to find a tribe somehow.
Yeah, I got to find something, because... Yep.
Well, you got a whole life ahead of you to do it in, but
yeah,
you know what you got to do and hang in there. What are some of the goals you've got? What are some things right now that you're working towards?
I mean, I can't decide whether I want to try to start some type of business or whether I want to go to school for something.
Mm-hmm.
I don't to do figure out what I'm going to do in that area, and then to get something to work at temporary that doesn't bother my feet. Too horrible.
Yeah.
Is where I'm at now. Yeah. And get back involved in my kids' lives more.
Okay.
That's one of the big goals.
So job and family.
Yeah.
Just like all the rest of us out here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, when you're 70, you start realizing, ooh, my family's getting bigger all the time. We just added another one last week.
Yeah.
And, yeah, and jobs can become all-consuming, too. It's hard to find the balance between family and job. I remember when I was delivering milk, and I had a gal working for me, and I said, I really enjoy what I'm doing. And she said, well, you're really in trouble then, Sam, because when you find a job that you really love, it will try to kill you. And she was right. Yeah. It just, when you're really happy at what you're working at, it becomes all consuming. It really does.
Yeah. I was reading an article earlier today about, a guy said, I can't stand whenever somebody says, oh, I can't wait till Friday and I can't stand Monday. They're like, well, that's the majority of your week. Why would you want to be doing something you can't stand? That sounds... It's like you're creating all your own problems there, and it sounds pretty miserable.
This is a tough question, and if you just say, I got to pass on this, go ahead. Can you put your finger on any things you really learned about yourself down there at the rehab recovery time?
I don't know. I've learned a lot of patience.
Patience?
I've learned a lot of patience. A lot more trying to understand people rather than judge them, or rather than be on, then talk about what they're doing, try to understand where they're coming from and look at life through their eyes. Because to be able to, I don't know, to understand where they're coming from, to understand how a person feels, you got to kind of try to put yourself in their shoe.
Wow.
Try not to judge and try to understand it, because it does, try to understand and help somebody a little bit more.
That came easier than I thought it would. What are some of your fears? Now that you're on this side of the program.
Getting lost in what I'm doing. Like not being able to... The startup on things is what's hard. Once you get them going, then, I mean, it's a little easier to focus in on how to get things started rolling. That's probably my thing I'm most nervous about.
Yeah, I can understand that. Because you're starting all over again.
Yeah.
Huh. Kind of like the feeling you have when you get out of high school and, oh my God, I'm 18, what am I going to do?
The patience to build something and the getting it started and the direction of where to go to help get it started and then to learn the information on starting it is.
Have regrets been a problem for you, or are you able to move on from that's how I was, but that's over and it's onward forward, or do you get bothered by regrets in your life?
I still let regrets bother me and beat me up a little bit, but I don't let them beat me backwards, because I mean, I think I have let them beat me backwards, but I don't let them beat me backwards anymore, because that's just self-destructive and makes it, puts everybody else through stuff too. That's, it's not okay.
Wow, I have really appreciated being able to spend this time with you. And I have learned a ton, and I appreciate your spilling it all and sharing it with folks.
No problem.
Thanks a whole lot. I really, really, really thank you.
No problem. Thank you.
Is there anything I didn't ask you that I should have?
There is. I'd think of it later.
I covered a lot, didn't we?
Yeah, I think we did.
If you enjoyed this session of Let's Get to Talkin', encourage friends out of the range of our low-power station to catch us online. Just Google Sam Stroop, SoundCloud, and the newest and oldest sessions will pop up. If you, like me, have a long day of being focused on my work and life, it's a great day's end to get my mind bent a bit around the life beat of the folks around me. This is Sam Stroop. Catch you next week. Let's get to talking.